whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
College football playoff, NFL playoffs. It's the Thursday touchdown.
Alrighty, 5 straight days of college football playoff or NFL playoff games. It's going to be awesome. The college football playoff resumes tonight with Notre Dame facing Penn State at the Orange Bowl. Then tomorrow night, we got Ohio State facing Texas at the Cotton Bowl. What matchup would provide the best national championship game in your eyes?
I believe it would be Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Seriously?
Well, I do. So some of it's recency bias, right? We all remember, 23, when Ryan Day announced and proclaimed that his team was tough. Like, I want to see more Lou Holtz versus Ryan Day. Like, go after the old guy. Like, continue your demise, in terms of PR. But from 95 to 23, they have matched up 6 different times. Ohio State has won all 6. And I just think, as much as all 4 of these teams, there's reasons why I don't want any of them to win. Somebody is going to win. Marcus Freeman is a guy that I can get behind. And obviously Lloyd Sun is a quarterback there. So I'm looking deep down the list of reasons why I would want someone to win this. And as a Wolverine, saying Notre Dame and Ohio State to play a championship game really hurts.
I'm proud of you. You were able to kind of set the Wolverine stuff aside. It is the best matchup. 2 iconic Midwest brands. Marcus Freeman against the school he played for. Ryan Day, can he win the big one? And the football matchup. Notre Dame has the #1 pass efficiency defense.
Yep.
Against that OSU passing attack. That's your best championship. Yep.
I do think an Ohio State Penn State would be good for the Big Ten. I mean, there would be some bragging rights there.
Let's talk about 2.
Because, well, wait a minute here. I was just going to say one other thing about this. Nobody said Texas Penn State would seem like the weirdest matchup. I don't think they've played in my life. Greg is right about that. He knows. Like, instantly he knows. I knew it. That's why I went there, because I knew Greg would be able to answer that. Very unique matchup. All right. Who has the most to gain if they win the national championship? Now, this might be easy on the surface, but think about it. Ryan Day, James Franklin, Steve Sarkisian, or Marcus Freeman?
Ryan Day has the most to lose, but the guy who has the most to gain is the person who never wins a big game ever, and that's James Franklin. Big game, yeah. James, unironically, yeah, he has the most to win.
Same thing, James Franklin. Ryan Day, even if he wins, there's going to be a part of that lunatic fan base that's going to say, well, you've lost to Michigan 4 years in a row. We still want a new coach. And they would have just won the national championship. Like, I don't know that he can actually gain enough by winning a national championship. It sounds unbelievable to say out loud. James Franklin, if there's anyone I want to win less, I'm not sure if it's Ryan Day or James Franklin, but James Franklin has the most to gain. Since he signed that big contract extension, was it 9 years, $90 million or 10 years, whatever it was, we were actually there a week or 2 after that, and that fan base was so disappointed that they were stuck with James Franklin for nearly another decade. He certainly has the most to gain.
Well, Franklin would beat 2 straight top 10 teams, which would seem like a miracle.
Yeah, miracles do happen.
You know, with Day, if he wins, it just further maybe cements that the rivalry doesn't matter like it used to a degree. I mean, that's where college football is going. It's turning into the NFL. Who cares if the Lions lose to the Packers in the regular season, as long as you win a championship?
Who loses in that? It's the college football fan loses in that.
Right. And then I do think, don't underestimate the gain for Marcus Freeman. He would go down in Notre Dame lore. When you win national championships at Notre Dame, You're legend, and he would have job protection for quite a while. All right, so many people deserve credit for the Lions' turnaround. Let's have some fun here and do an Olympic medal stand. Who gets the gold, silver, and bronze medals for the Lions' turnaround the last 4 years?
All right, so one of these I thought a little bit outside the box, and I'm sure, because we had talked about this yesterday, somebody's going to be left off the medal stand. I get it. I don't care. The gold medal goes to Dan Campbell, because he is the one that has set the culture. He was brought in before Brad Holmes. Now, the relationship between those guys, that's why I've got Brad Holmes as the silver, because of what he has done in the draft, how he has built this roster, how those 2 guys have worked together. The symbiotic relationship has been unbelievable. It's hard to even imagine that a GM is hired after a coach and they've been able to work together like this. But so gold for Dan, silver for Brad. Here's where I went outside the box, because part of it has to be done on the field. That culture has to be accepted by the players. It has to be personified by a player, and that player is Frank Ragnow. He's tough. He's gritty. He doesn't care how much it hurts. He's playing with a torn pec. He has all season long. So Frank is, he gets the bronze.
The debate for gold is between Campbell and Holmes, and I went Dan Campbell with the gold medal because we've seen great players be drafted in Detroit and be squandered. You need a structure. You need a culture. That has to help even the lesser players elevate their game. So
boots on the ground.
Yeah, boots on the ground. Campbell's gold. Holmes is silver. And I went Sheila with the bronze. I think she had to step up in a big way and step out of the way, but then also stand by these guys while they struggled early.
I would go Sheila gold. Because nothing changes unless she's willing to change and put her pride aside. Then she went and talked to the guy and got the advice from the guy who said, this is the way you need to do things, and that's Chris Spielman. So he would get the silver, and I give the bronze to Brad Campbell.
Mm.
Like that?
Yeah.
All right.
Cheater.
Thursday touchdown. Exactly. The Thursday touchdown speculated about 6 weeks ago that Jahmyr Gibbs should have become the Lions' feature back. He has carried the load, and now Montgomery might be back for the next game. How should the Lions handle this situation? Who starts? Who gets the goal line carries?
Gibbs is more dynamic. He's more dangerous. He should get about 65% of the touches. Montgomery, the other 35. And I think short yardage, David Montgomery is still your hammer.
I go back to the same way. Who starts? It's Knuckles. Put him out there, set the tone. We talked about how much he sets the tone. And then in terms of the percentages, I go probably 65 Gibbs just to continue to protect David Montgomery just a little bit, but put him out there and go with what has worked for so much over the last 2 years, but certainly this year.
All right, the Vikings, Commanders, Packers, Chargers, Steelers, and Broncos all open on the road this weekend. Four teams have won three road playoff games and gone on to win the Super Bowl. Which of this year's six road teams could pull off this feat?
So I looked at the options, and I said, okay, who's got the best quarterback of the bunch? That's Justin Herbert. Who's got a coach that has actually gone on the road and won an NFC championship game? That's Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, my gosh, you're doing this?
Yeah, I know.
Twice in an hour.
Yeah, no, that was actually Jack. Thanks, Jack. And I appreciate you finding Jack versus Jim on that one. So I'm going to go with the Chargers. And because the Steelers, Packers, Commanders, Vikings, like, you've got young quarterbacks, unproven quarterbacks. You've got guys there that, and I don't think any of these ones do it, but the best chance is the Chargers.
I hate that we keep agreeing. I think Herbert's the best quarterback of that group. I really do. And I think they finally provided him structure, a run game, a defense. And you're right, the coach matters. Harbaugh's done this, and they can go in as an underdog and win the first game, which is the first step in pulling this off.
Yeah, I think you go there. Maybe you could give a slight lean to the Broncos, too, just because Sean Payton's done it. And they're playing really, really good. They're balanced. They have good defense, and they're would play the Chiefs for a third time, like the Chargers, so a division foe. I do think the Chargers going into Arrowhead could be pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
Both games against the Chiefs this year, the Chargers gave up under 20 to them. Yeah. They were tight, pretty tight game. So I think you guys got that one. You nailed it. 18 teams are sitting at home as the NFL playoffs begin. Which of these 18 teams had the most disappointing season?
Oh, this was easy to me. It was the team who had the passing leader and touchdown leader, the sack leader, and a wide receiver who won the Triple Crown. They also played a fourth place schedule, and they missed the playoffs. I'm talking about Joe Burrow's Cincinnati Bengals.
You need to get out of my head. I agree. Cincinnati, they started off 0-3, and they couldn't find any footing until they got to about week 12, where they played the Cowboys. They finally started to find a rhythm. Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, Steelers, all wins to end the season. And you look at those opponents and say, well, they should beat those opponents. If you got Joe Burrow. But it's just been so disappointing. And the disappointing thing has come on defense. The sack leader and Trey Hendrickson, disappointing.
You know, I cannot believe that Casa did not say the Jets, especially when they were 6-2 at the bye. Tyreek Hill refused to play on Sunday, then made it sound after the game on Sunday that he wants out of Miami. If Hill is traded, what team would be the ideal fit?
You know what? I didn't go with the ideal fit for, like, okay, where would he be best served? How could he best utilize his talents? I went with the team that has made horrible decisions. There's two of them to pick from. And I think I'll send him to a team in Ohio, Cleveland. Like, you signed Deshaun Watson. You have to live with that. Then you signed Tyreek Hill. Like, this just would fit, especially if they trade for him. They won't take the full cap hit because of what they're dealing with Deshaun Watson's contract. I think he belongs in Ohio, and he belongs in Cleveland.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for a guy who left winning to take money and now is bummed that he's not winning.
Me.
Hmm. Right division, wrong team.
Oh.
If Baltimore doesn't win it, don't they add him?
Oh, come on. You went with where he would actually be best served.
Tried to answer the question.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I was actually thinking of best served. You might go back to your answer a few questions ago.
Chargers?
Yeah. If you have good soldier Tyreek Hill, who's focused on doing the right things and playing to win, and the way Harbaugh loves to run the football, but you put a dynamic speedster in that with a guy that's got a gun at quarterback.
Sure.
Whoo.
Yeah. Or, the two teams that I think are more deserving, Cleveland is certainly one. The Jets would be two. Yes. They decide not to hire Spielman, and they run it back with Aaron Rodgers. Give them Tyreek Hill and Adams, and just watch it burn.
How about if he just goes to Tennessee? Then everybody can at least have one Tennessee Titan in their fantasy league.
There you go. And that is your Thursday touchdown. No love for Tony Pollard, huh? It's 97.1.